I don't mind same. I kind of like same. Same is what is familiar. It is what I know. Maybe it's what and who I grew up with. Maybe it's what I've come to call home or call family or call church over the years in ways that have settled in and become a part of who I am. Same gives comfort. Same is kind of what we take for granted in life. It is what goes without saying. Christianity has been committed to same over the many centuries. Our faith has been the maker of tradition and of ritual and of habits of life that are meant to give us all of the good things I just described as same. I think we can be grateful for that. For where would we be without it? Same is the kind of breathing in that makes sense of life day to day. But as you might expect by the fact that I've begun my sermon today talking about this, that I'm going to say to you, yes, but, to this praise of the familiar. For this morning, I am also interested in the other side of that breathing in that the church has cherished. I'm interested in the breathing outward. For there has always also been in our faith a drive pushing us beyond the same. There has always also been a call for us to turn our faces to what I'll call other, to cross over barriers made between us and all that God loves, to break down the walls of hostility, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians. That call has always been spiritual. It has also sometimes been physical, calling believers to go physically, literally outside their comfort zone, to strange places, new lands, to share God's love and share the word of God's presence, to be part of what God is doing other. Nowhere in the New Testament is this breathing in and breathing out seen more powerfully than in the Gospel of Mark and in the story just read in your hearing. So let's think about that story for a minute. At the moment that Mark describes, the movement around Jesus has been growing very quickly. It has been centered in the region of Palestine called the Galilee. Its home base has become the city of Capernaum, right on the shore of the lake. Now, the lake in question is not a big lake. But as things often go in Scripture, its magnitude is greatly exaggerated. It's actually called a sea. But it's called a sea not just because big things happen around it, which they do, but also because in Hebrew scripture, the word sea can represent danger, the unknown, the unsafe. And so this little lake is like a sea, protecting its Jewish side on the west from that foreign land on the east, the side of the other. It's still very much like that even today, with Jordan and Syria so upsetting around the eastern side and Israel on the western. The lines are disputed and the crossing is tightly controlled even now. It is still a churning sea between same and other. Jesus, his ministry hovers there around that sea. Six times in the Gospel of Mark, there are stories of crossing that sea. The first one is the one you just heard. So right to that story. As news of Jesus' ministry is spreading around the Jewish side of the lake, things are getting a little tense. Controversy is beginning. And so his family, literally brothers and sisters and mother, show up. Our Bible says, just before the passage you heard, that they went looking for Jesus. Literally, the word looking should be translated hunting. They went to hunt him down, to quiet things, to calm this movement down, to try to bring Jesus home, or at least to take Jesus back to Capernaum. For things were getting a little awkward, a little tense. We wanted to get things back to the familiar. Maybe it would be better if Jesus stayed in Capernaum. Maybe it would be better if he just became the pastor of the First Jesus Church of Capernaum and had a nice long life in ministry and everything was calm and all would be well. But Jesus' response? Whoever follows God, they are my family now. I preach a new familiar, he says, a new home, a new family, a new adventure. And so he kept on preaching. So many people came that he had to get out in a boat just off into the water as people gathered around in a kind of amphitheater on the shore. And he preached and he preached and he talked, and evening came. And he said to his disciples, "Look over there. Let's go to the other side. Let's go. Over there. Let's leave the Capernaum campus of the First Jesus Church and let's go across." Now, I'd like you to go with the symbolism here, if you would. Forget, if you would, just for a moment, whether or not what is described in this story sort of actually physically happened in time, exactly as it's described. Maybe, but I'm going to ask you just to hold that for a minute and catch the meaning instead of the images that play here. Think first about that image of over there. It's imagined as a place of graveyards, with demon-possessed people wandering about, maybe a bit like zombies, and pigs all around. For those hearing this story, each of those are symbols of what is defiled and unholy, of what is frightening and strange. Perhaps a bit like we think of Syria even today. "Let's go across," Jesus says, "to that strange place." And all wrapped up in the Jesus excitement, the disciples get onto the boats and start going across with him. Now, have you ever decided to embrace something new in your own life, confident in your decision and maybe confident in whoever's leading you despite some early misgivings? And then have you ever gotten a little way into this thing and suddenly found you had cold feet? Of course you have. Every one of us has. Now, those of you who sell real estate, and you know who you are, you probably know this sometimes as what's called buyer's remorse, right? "Yes, yes, we want that one. Yes, no, I really didn't mean it." So, forget the weather report. Remember the symbols. The lake is the sea of doubt and hesitations for Jesus' followers on the way between what's familiar and what's new and other. Onlookers in boats circle their own boats around the ones with Jesus and the disciples just to see what's happening. But as they get further and further across the lake, some of those other boats drop off and worry begins to rise. It seems like he really means it. He's actually taking us over there. Really? Are we protected? Isn't this a bit risky? Are we really, really ready for this? No, we didn't really mean it. And an emotional storm comes up within them, an emotional storm that only Jesus can calm, that only Jesus can calm. Please, never forget that. When the seas inside of you churn too. Go ahead and calculate the wind and lower your sails, set your ballast. But remember that there are times when calm comes only through prayer, only through staying on track of where God has called you, only by letting the fearlessness of God's Spirit become the bedrock of your own spirit. He can keep you going. But this worry in them calms, but doesn't seem to entirely end with Jesus saying peace to the storm. Look again with me. They go with him all the way across to the shore on the other side, right to the edge, and he gets off the boat. It's subtle. It almost goes without notice, but it's right there in Scripture. They get on the boat. He gets off. It's implied, if not stated. They don't. So close. But they can't go all the way. We get on the boat with a commitment to a new life. We get over the first round of our nerves and we decide to get on board, and that's so good. We experience God's calm. We begin to see new things in new ways. We start talking about love for others. We find causes that are worth caring about, and we find ourselves beginning to pray even for strangers, slowly breaking down those spiritual walls of hostility and ignorance of other people that hurt us so. All good, 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 but something then still holds us back. We find ourselves afraid of the next step for fear it might be too steep to put our hearts and our bodies and our money and our church and maybe even our families right on the line. Less up here, finally more here. Smack right in the middle of the folks that God loves and calls us to pray for. Now we can take heart that Jesus does not judge his disciples for not going all the way with him. He just doesn't wait for them. He goes on. He gets off the boat without fear. And yet he still woos them. Over and over again throughout the gospel, he keeps calling them to deeper commitment and to courage to act. He keeps preparing them for the moment when they will get off the boat, which becomes that moment in the power of his resurrection when they go out into the world, off the boat to the other side to tell his story. Jesus goes without fear, and Jesus blesses. He does not go to conquer or to dominate, or to possess, he goes to bless. And as they watch from the boat, it all unfolds right there on the shoreline. That Gerasene man comes down running from the tombs, possessed by a spirit, dragging his chains. He charges right at Jesus. Now, if I'd seen all that unfold, I'd be glad I stayed on the boat. So we watch this man, all bound up by his own self-destruction, controlled by a foreign army and a strange religion, as he falls right to the ground in front of Jesus. This monster of a human is the first person in the Gospel of Mark to say who Jesus really is. And Jesus heals him, calling out the name of what has been tormenting him. And that thing with the pigs happens too. Pigs, the unclean animals, become a part of the story. And that whole area becomes filled with God. God's release, God's freedom, right there, right then. So what do we see? Jesus goes to the other side without fear. Jesus goes to bless without a need to control. And Jesus gives courage. That might be the way to think about the last part of that story. For after all these things have happened and more, Jesus asks the man who he healed to not come back with him, which the man is asked to do, to not come back with him and the disciples, but to stay there on the other side of the sea, to tell the story, to share his love, to emulate in his own place what Jesus had done when he came without fear and he blessed without judgment and he gave courage. So that when the disciples do finally make that journey and do get off the boat, they will find that God has already been at work as this man has been telling the story. In Christ, you see, there is no place that stays empty of God's mercy. There is no place, as foreign or other as it may seem, there is no place where God's Spirit has not already been, where healing does not happen, where Jesus does not already have friends, whether his friends call themselves that or not. What a story. So I have a final question this morning. Is this your story? Are there places in your own life, in your heart, in your soul, in your family, in your work? Are there places where you know you need to go? Are there decisions you know you need to make? Is there something to which you sense the Spirit calling you? But it seems too far away. It seems too strange and other. It seems like the other side of the sea. Please know that Jesus calms the churning. That Jesus goes there first and bids you to get off the boat when you're ready and says to you, when you are ready, I am with you, without fear, to bless, and to give courage. And so is this also our story as a congregation? I come back from these last 3 months with much churning myself, head spinning and not quite clear yet about what it all means. But I too do come back with a stronger sense of something that many of you know already, that we are in a strange and volatile place in the world right now. That even as migration is such an issue that we read about every day, and we live with greater diversity and higher population and more mixing and matching than we ever have, we are also more divided and separated than ever. We are more afraid of each other. We are running for the corners. We are emptying spaces of difference and otherness. We are conflicted in the extreme, and no one seems to know the answer. Except we know that Jesus is already there. We know that Jesus is already calling us, even as this small congregation in this little place, in this little land. Jesus is calling us to the other side. Jesus is calling us to other, to find courage in same so we can embrace other, so we can find the calling and the future without fear. We can have courage to make changes to embrace love, to show it, and to be his people on and off the boat. Amen.